That was the Sweet Inspirations, a very successful recording and backup group in the late 60s and early 70s. For many years, they backed up Elvis in his concerts and on recordings, and had successful releases on their own, like the song Sweet Inspiration, a top 20 hit from 1968. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and this is my March show. Has part one of the show featured a special interview about the history of the LP Love is a Drag, I figured I'd devote part two to some of the obscure recordings in my collection that I have not had a chance to share with you yet. As a recording group, the Sweet Inspirations had their success on the Atlantic label, and one third of that act was Estelle Brown, who I recently found out was openly lesbian, and that gets her on this show. A few years before she joined the Sweet Inspirations, in 1964, she recorded a 45 for producer Jerry Ragavoy on the United Artists label, and it's now an in-demand and pricey soul record. Here are both sides of it. You got just what you ask for, and stick close.
I look in the looking glass, and what do I see? Well, I see a girl who is crying. That girl is me. If she's got a girl, so lonely and so sad, but everyone kept on telling you that boy was bad. characters pull our love apart.
Baby,
I can see in their eyes there's loss of me in their heart. Friend Pearl, she watched her guy walk away with another girl.
Home.
As I said, that set started off with Two by Estelle Brown. And as I mentioned Elvis when I was telling you about the Sweet Inspirations, I followed her with a blues singer named Bernard Hardison, who has an Elvis connection, sort of. Elvis had a big hit record in 1957 with the song Too Much, but Bernard Hardison did it first, 2 years before Elvis. I also played you a song from 1953 by him called Love Me Baby. As long as we're in the 1950s, I'm going to tell you about some music with a different kind of gay twist to it. In this case, the artists were not gay, but their manager was. Yeah, I know, that usually is not enough to get someone on this show, but I don't want this history to be lost. One of the revered R&B groups of the mid-50s was the Spiders, and one of my oldest friends, for about 35 years now, is an expert record collector. He's Ron Stein, and he hosts his own radio show on Sunday evenings on the internet station Top Shelf Oldies. And he uncovered the gay angle with this group. He loves to scavenge for old records, and on one excursion he was able to buy some recording acetates that had belonged to Phyllis Boone. And Phyllis Boone was the manager of the Spiders. And I'll point out that it was extremely rare for a woman to be manager of an R&B group, or any group back then. And I'll also explain that acetates were kind of demo recordings, made from acetate-based material, as opposed to from shellac for 78s and vinyl for 45s. They were done usually so the artist or the studio could hear how the recording sounds, and very few were made of each one. Again, what he found were very rare 78 RPM acetates from around 1954 by the Spiders, and in that batch was one that when he took it home and played it, it was something very different. It was a homemade acetate, probably from the same time period, but it was obviously the voice of a woman who had been partners with Phyllis Boone, and was essentially a recorded love letter, telling Phyllis how much she missed her and so on. Boone died in 2007, and the person selling the effects of her estate knew nothing about what was on that recording. My friend Ron thought this record much too personal to keep, so he returned it to the seller. I wouldn't have, but then I'm a historian, and Ron wasn't trying to preserve oral histories. Anyway, back to the group, the Spiders. They had several top hits on the R&B charts, and one of them was called Witchcraft. And it also has an Elvis connection. The Spiders had an R&B hit with it in 1956, and Elvis recorded it in 1963 on the soundtrack for the movie Bossa Nova Baby. Again, the song is Witchcraft.
Don't do that, please stop it now. Round and round. Well, witchcraft. keep going down and down.
No Elvis connection with that one. The song was obviously called Just Ask for What You Want, and it's from 1961, and the artist was Lester Finney, though he went by Finimo, and there were a number of variations on the spelling of that as he traveled from label to label. It's reported that in the early 80s, he was doing a sort of drag queen comedy act in Dallas. When he caught a break, he got a contract from the Malaco label along with a $10,000 signing bonus. To celebrate, he and his buddies partied for the next month, ran through the $10,000, and then Finimo had a heart attack and died, never having made it into the studio. I love this next record and wish I knew more about it. I don't own it, but a friend sent me the MP3 and a label scan. It's called Mahu from Wapahu and was sung by the Four Jokers. According to Wiki, Mahu in some Polynesian cultures refers to a third gender person, and Wapahu is an area of the island of Oahu in Hawaii. I'm thinking it dates from the mid-1950s, as it alludes to a sex change in Denmark, and Christine Jorgensen made history there in 1952, becoming an instant celebrity for several years.
He's a Mahu from Wapahu. He can't make up his mind. This Mahu from Wapahu is sometimes called unkind. A wahine in a muumuu or a really gone grass skirt doesn't send him like a connie in a chartreuse aloha shirt.
Nothing. Now look here, honey, little wild child Wahini. I got for you the strangest tale. This here Mahu, he ain't from Waipahu. That's just where he picks up his mail. This Mahu went to Hilo, honey child, just to see what he could find. They made him swim all the way back to Oahu. He said, Hilo, Takain. Now this Hapahali's got a real dark future. I'd say it's awful dark. But one thing, this Mahu don't hail from Waipahu, no siree. This here cat comes from Denmark.
He's a Mahu from Waipahu. He can't make up his mind. This Mahu from Waipahu is sometimes called the kind. A wahini in a moo-moo or a really gone grass skirt doesn't send him like a connie in a chartreuse aloha shirt. All pow.
Half of the world here doesn't know about the other half. The one who spoke these timely words sure said a paragraph. Of all the problems that exist, there isn't one like this. Now who can tell a mister from a miss? Nothing here perplexes like the sexes. For things are vice versa nowadays. In spite of all we do, we can't tell who is who. So many folks have vice versa ways. For instance, many boys are high sopranos, while many girls prefer to sing the bass. And when you see them switch, you don't know which is which. A brother now can take his sister's place. Sexes. There are many things that only doctors know. A boy will fill with pride and blush just like a bride if you should say hello, Miss So-and-so. And many ladies have a secret passion to wear a full mustache and mannish clothes. And many girls and boys are now exchanging toys. What nature had in mind, nobody knows.
Now listen, everybody, the time has really come when you can help your country by just playing dumb. If you've got information, just button up your lip, 'cause we can help our nation. Let me give you the tip, because I shut my mouth. I ain't talking, I shut my mouth. I ain't squawking, I shut my mouth. Yes, I am. I shut my mouth for Uncle Sam. I'm digging deep in my pocket. I'm digging deep in my socket. I'm digging deep. Yes, I am. To buy some buns from Uncle Sam. When I hear an idle story, I'm no mockingbird. I shut my mouth for dear old glory. Shh, shh, Mum's the word, so when you hear an idle rumor, it ain't no good. Just you humor it, shut your mouth, like I am. I shut my mouth for Uncle Sam. Pin 'em up, seal 'em up, shut 'em up tight, boys. Tape 'em up, tie 'em up, lace 'em up, lock 'em up right, boys. Don't give information to the enemy. Close for the duration. Just you follow me. Because I shut my mouth, I ain't squawking, I shut my mouth. I ain't talking, I shut my mouth. Yes, I am, because I shut my mouth for Uncle Sam. I'm digging deep in my pocket, I'm digging deep in my socket, I'm digging deep. Yes, I am, the voice I'm bounce from Uncle Sam. Don't you be a sap. If anyone should start to question, shut your trap. So when you hear an idle rumor, it ain't no good. Just you humor it, shut your mouth. Don't start groping, keep your eyes and ears wide open. But shut your mouth, like I am. I shut my mouth for Uncle Sam, 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 Sam. I shut my mouth for Uncle Sam.
I never get tired of the things I do, hugging and a kissing and a petting you. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired. If it's early or late, baby, I'll cooperate. Any time and place you state, I'll be steady and ready. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired. I never did get such a kick before. Each kiss you give me makes me want for more. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired of doing it. I never get tired.
You know, I think she never gets tired of doing it. That was Tiny Davis, who released a handful of 78s in the late 1940s after her career with the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. I played several tracks by her on my October 2010 show, but recently acquired that 78, so wanted to share another song with you. But let's back up in that set. After the Four Jokers gave us Mahu from Wapahu, I figured I'd stay on that theme and played Vice Versa. It was done by Betty Thornton, known for her risque songs, and I date it at 1946. And then I went to 1942 and Frances Fay doing a wartime effort with a message, Shut Your Mouth for Uncle Sam. This was not released on record, but came from a soundie, which was a short film clip usually played, along with the newsreel, in a movie theater before the main feature. Remember, in the mid-1940s, few people owned televisions, so they got some of their news at the movies. The line to look out for in this next record is, They know all our troubles, they know all our joys, they even know the girls that's supposed to be boys. The song is called The Bartender, and it's from around 1962, and singing it is Duke Hunter.
Oh, if you want to know, ask the bartenders, 'cause brother, they're the ones who know. Oh, if you want to know, ask the bartenders, 'cause brother, they're the ones who know. You can go to homicide, missing prison girl too, but they don't know. They would tell such a story with so much
And in that last one, I have to chuckle at the line where she says, "Don't you know that I can make him gay?" The song was called "He Don't Care About Me" and was from the 1962 LP by The Miracles, "I'll Try Something New." We're off now to the UK of 1968 and an obscure band going by the name of Simon's Secrets, one of the early acts of singer Clifford T. Ward. Here's "Naughty Boy."
Say you can show me the way. I don't want to do as I should, and I'm tired of hearing you say, "Who's a naughty boy? You're a naughty boy. Yes, you are, yes, you are. Yes, you are, yes, you are. I'm uncertain to a certain exactly what you feel for me. First you came and then you went, pleasing me, teasing me. Who's a naughty boy? You's a naughty boy. Yes you is, yes you is. Yes you is, yes you is. I've got to talk to you. I have to talk with you, so let's seriously consider, are we simply wasting our time when we could be otherwise engaged? Are you his or am you mine? Will you tell me before I'm enraged? Who's a naughty boy? I'm a naughty boy. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Who's a naughty boy? I'm a naughty boy.
Please don't wake me up too late. Tomorrow comes and I will not be late. Late today when it becomes tomorrow, I will leave and go away. Goodbye, 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 my love, goodbye. Songs that lingered on my lips excite me now. Behind. Goodbye, 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 my love, goodbye.
And that should sound familiar in an unexpected way. The song was a hit for Mary Hopkins in 1969, but Paul McCartney wrote it and sang that demo recording of it, giving it a male-to-male perspective. And next, pulling no punches, is comedian Bobby Dell. In 1959, he released an LP called If I Insulted You, It Was Intentional. The track I chose was called My Doctor.
About a year ago, I was taken very sick and needed an examination real quick. This handsome doctor walked into my room. When he felt my pulse, I thought I would swoon. He's been taking care of me ever since. Now I've got the hot flashes for this prince. He doesn't bother to medicate my ills. His treatment does more good than his pills. When I see my doctor, he's willing and able to bend me over on an operating table. When I catch a cold traveling north to south, I keep his thermometer in my mouth. When he doesn't call on me, I'm way down in the dump. To keep him coming, I pull on his oxygen pump. Because I'm in love with my doctor. I've had rheumatism and neuritis, tonsillitis and colitis. He has treated me for typhoid and for mastoid, poked my thyroid, poked my adenoids, and something that he called hemorrhoids. Ouch, that hurt. Everyone thinks I'm such a dope because I just love his stethoscope. But I can't help going for that doctor man. Oh, you should see the way he handles my bedpan. When I'm in his laboratory, I just can't wait till his finger starts to manipulate. I don't know what it is, but I need what he's got. Could be the way he lays me on a hospital cot. Oh, yes, I'm in love with my doctor. Now bend over, dear. I'm going to give you an injection. With no needle? He must be a Greek. That's why I'm in love with my sexy doctor. Oh, doctor, another injection. That one reached my tonsils. More Vaseline, please.
Hello? Medical arts? Medical arts? Is this the medical arts? Will you connect me with the operating room, please? Mm-hmm. The Salon de Surgerie. No, darling, that's not French. That's just an old, understood tongue that's come fluttering and hustling down through the ages, like the rats from a Victorian coiffure. Oh, operating room? I wonder if you would inconvenience yourself and peek about under those sheets and see if you can find an old, dismantled T-model body. Mm-hmm. I believe she's having an appendectomy put on her first edition. Oh, how grand you found her. She's what? She's under ether. She's lying under ether? Well, ask him to get up for a moment and let her come to the phone. That girl was ever the one to think only of her own pleasure, and me with 6 nut-brown fruit-filled loaves scorching in my Dutch or fireless cooking oven. Hello, operating room? Well, don't be antiseptic about it. All I know about sterilization is what I need for the bare essentials of New York living in this germ-filled metropolis. All I know is what my doctor told me. My doctor. That masterful, medical, miracle man. My doctor. He's got the biggest practice in town. My doctor. He'll pick you up the minute you're down. Rich and poor, black and white. Ring his bell all the day and night. Some folks faint at just the sight of my doctor. My doctor, his operation's really a joy. My doctor, with all his instruments you can toy. He's so big-hearted it's been known to pass. He'll say the treat's on me and give you gas. And then you get a piece of advice from my doctor. Why, he's so sanitary that his place is like a dairy where the milk of human kindness ever flows. His business keeps on growing and he makes a splendid showing with his assets which the whole town knows. Once upon his table, never yet has one been able to say no to any treatment he'll suggest. His smile is so contagious and his fee is so outrageous that the size of it assures you of the best. He'll stick you with a needle just like that or very quick, which the Weekly call the very neatest trick. The size of his prescription quite belies human description. He's just as well as well for sick. And he's my doctor. Diplomas hang all over his wall. My doctor, his work is just as broad as it's tall. The Mayo brothers one time sent a spy to see his instrument. The spy said, my, she's looking yet at my doctor. My doctor, his understanding really is huge, tremendous. My doctor, he keeps his nurse as merely a stooge. His work is much more first than last rate. The ladies take it at a fast rate. And every man would like to cast aspersions on my doctor.
That was another track, also called My Doctor, but it's from 1935 and was by Bruz Fletcher. He's a favorite of mine, and I featured him prominently in a show I did a couple years ago on the pansy craze of the 1930s. I'm pleased now that an excellent collection of his recordings has been issued on CD, and it's called Drunk with Love. All this kind of reminded me of some Noel Coward material I've been wanting to use. I have a CD by British entertainer Peter Greenwell, who was a friend and great fan of Noel Coward. And in 1995, he did an entire evening performance of Coward material called A Talent to Amuse. I chose a couple tracks where he talks about Coward and then sings Mad About the Boy.
I first met Noel Coward in 1962. A big gala was being given in his honor, and his lifelong companion, Graham Payne, who was also a good friend of mine, asked me if I would like to play for him. I was, of course, very thrilled, and I went along to meet him at the Savoy Theatre, where he was directing his musical, Sail Away. I must tell you I'd done my homework. I knew that he liked the flat keys in music as opposed to the sharp keys, and in fact, E-flat was his favourite key. We were introduced. His first words to me were, "Do you think you could manage Mrs. Worthington?" And I said, rather brightly, "In E-flat?" "Oh," he said, "knew we were destined to be lovers." So a series of rehearsals was very quickly arranged. Musical rehearsals, that is. Every afternoon at 4, I would go along to his suite at the Savoy Hotel, armed with an Evening Standard. He liked to read the latest news while we had a cup of tea before starting work. One afternoon, there was a big headline, "Coming out." People were beginning to declare themselves, to make public their sexual preferences. He read the article, and then he said, "Well, there's one old gentleman here who won't be coming out. A lot of middle-aged ladies in Goring-by-Sea still harbour secret desires for me." "And I have no intention of shattering their illusions for all the tea in China." During tea, the telephone would often ring and he'd answer it himself. Cary Grant, as though he was a personal friend of mine. Judy Garland. Merle Oberon. One was always made to feel part of the family. After tea, we'd work for an hour or so and then he'd say, "I think that's enough for today, let's have a drink." Of course, he could be very formidable. But he was so terribly kind, and he had a delightful way of ticking you off. I remember one day he said, "I'm going to take a shower and freshen up, ready for this evening." Indicating the music on the piano, he said, "Why don't you amuse yourself and take a look at some of those chords?" "The old boy did write one or two rather good ones, and you're not playing them." His mind was so full of every single branch of show business, there wasn't anything that he didn't know about. He coined a phrase, "If you want to get to the top, learn to print the tickets." I'm very thrilled to be able to sing for you a Coward lyric that has never before been heard in public. Graham Payne has given me special permission to sing this lyric, which he unearthed when he was researching his marvelous new book, My Life with Noel Coward. It's a sobering thought to think that it was written for the American production Set to Music in 1938, that is 57 years ago. It was cut from the show before it opened because the management felt it was, quite understandably, too daring. Nowadays, in this permissive society in which we live, one can only marvel as to how far ahead he was of his time. The setting is a smart office. A dapper businessman, formally dressed in black jacket and grey pinstripe trousers, is seated at his desk. He sings, "Mad about the boy. I know it's silly, but I'm mad about the boy. And even Dr. Freud cannot exchange those foolish dreams I've had about the boy. When I told my wife, she said I've never heard such nonsense in my life. Her lack of sympathy embarrassed me and made me, frankly, glad about the boy. My doctor can't advise me. He'd help me if he could. 3 times he's tried to psychoanalyze me, but it's just no good. People I employ have the impertinence to call me Myrnaloy. I rise above it, frankly love it, 'cause I'm absolutely mad about the boy."
And this next track is a bit dated. It's a political satire from 1981, so the references to Reagan, Carter, and McGovern are quite out of date. But I think it's still worthwhile, because any time there's something so blatantly bigoted and hypocritical, it's open for satire. It was written by Doug Mayfield, a high school teacher in Minnesota who got pissed off when the moral majority got several classic books, like Catcher in the Rye and Of Mice and Men, removed from Minnesota school libraries. Mayfield recorded it with a friend, Jeff Nissen, and just called the act Mayfield and Nissen. Producer Shelby Singleton, the guy who brought us A Boy Named Sue, Harper Valley PTA, and a number of other hits, heard it and leased the record. He thought the name Mayfield and Nissen sounded too folky, so renamed them The Electric Church. From 1981, they sing about the moral majority.
"And we must endeavor to permeate every facet of American society.
It got crowded in the closet, so we're finally coming out. We're thumping on our Bibles and building up our clout. We're all the Lord's lieutenants, and there's nothing we can't do to prove it. We're now making our political debut. Oh, we're the moral majority. We're holier than thou. By God, we're here to tell you what we will and won't allow. We're out to purge the nation of its humanistic bent. A separate church and state, we've simply given up for Lent.
Don't get us wrong, we still believe that prayers will save our souls. But when we want them answered, we'll say them at the polls. And talk about successes, we're as pleased as we can be. We've sent Jimmy back to Georgia, we've moved Bonzo to D.C.
We socked it to McGovern and to Culver, Church and Bye. We'll stack them up like cordwood, 'cause God is on our side. And that was just a preview of 1982. What we've got planned, sure to put the fear of God in you. 'Cause we're the moral majority, you better mend your ways. When we get done with liberals,
we're going after gays.
And once they see the light, we'll have to concentrate on Jews.
But what with all these commies, it'll be so hard to choose. I want to talk to you about heaven. You know, some of us are going to get there, And some of us are going to get there rich. But no one's going anywhere on a skimpy budget. You are my sheep, and as your shepherd, I want to fleece, increase your odds for salvation. As the good book says in Philodendron 7:13, you ain't gonna get nothing for nothing. It takes money to run this church, the TV programs, and my Cadillac. You have any idea what just one of these little pinky rings cost me?
We never seem to get good press. It's always filthy lies.
Why, you can call my wife right now and never proselytize.
And if we burn a book or two, it's cause they're so obscene. And heading up our list right now is Penthouse Magazine. Cause we're the moral majority. We're launching our attack. We'll ride the train to glory, cause we got the inside track. We've got the goods on ERA. Salt 2 has got to go. There never was the slightest doubt. The Bible tells us so.
Again, that song was Electric Church, and this has been an eclectic show. Ending this segment is some rare material from the San Francisco Gay and Lesbian Historical Society. They've been working for several years preserving old broadcasts of radio shows. And from one called The Gay Life in 1984 comes a slice of a memorial service held for AIDS activist Bobby Campbell. There were lots of speakers, and Leah Delaria sang a very nice version of Over the Rainbow.
And we'd like to do this song. We were asked to do this song by the man who organized this, Cleve Jones, and I think we should give him a hand. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once. It was in a lullaby. The rainbow home. Skies are blue. Ooh, 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 ooh. And the dreams that you wish to dream, they always will come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star. I'll wake up behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops, away above the chimney tops. That's where you will find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Skies are blue, and those birds can fly high. Well, if those birds, they can fly high, way over the rainbow. Well, now why? Oh, yes, now why? Oh, why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why?